Well, pastor's not here today, so you're stuck with me, you know. And if you'd like to, you can turn to Romans chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. Romans chapter 10 is where we'll be. And I guess I should turn this on. It might work. Okay. And my mom would always say, whenever I'd preach, you know, preach short, you get support, even though not getting support for preaching tonight, but, you know, she would always say that to be funny, but I might be a little shorter than pastor would preach on Wednesday, but don't get too excited. But how can I understand this? You know, it doesn't make any sense. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He is despised and rejected of men. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who is this man? Understandest what thou readest? How can I, except some man guide me? Tonight, you must be ready and willing to preach the gospel to every person. In Acts chapter 8, verses 30 through 35, it says, "And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. My title tonight is, What About Those Who Have Never Heard? What is going to happen to those who have never heard the gospel, not one time in their entire life? Are they still responsible for their sin, even if they've never heard the gospel? Would a loving God condemn someone to hell who's never heard the good news of Jesus Christ? And first, in looking at this topic tonight, we'll see the revelation from God. I'm going to be mainly in Romans tonight, but in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 says, Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So first of all, with revelation from God, there's two different parts of revelation from God. The first part is creation. Psalm 19:1 says, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You know, how many of you at some point in your life, you know, you looked up, you were just watching the stars, or you were enjoying creation, some aspect of it, and you said, man, there must be a God. There must be, you know. Well, no matter what you're doing, you're on vacation in a nice place, there must be a God. And there, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have said that at one point. But creation reveals God to us. And the second thing is our conscience. John 8:9 says, And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Our conscience convicts us of sin. It shows us who we are, and it also shows us who God is. Romans 2:15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. All of us, everyone in the world has a conscience, and this is the second part that reveals us who God is. And it's called part of general revelation. But every person has a conscience. Every nation has laws and regulations, no matter what country it is. They have at least some sort of law that they go by. And even a child will naturally tell you, you know, that lying is wrong and simple things like that. So they, every person knows and has a conscience and is aware of their sin. And first we see revelation from God, but second, rejection by man. And first, under this, we'll see response to known truth. In Romans 1:21, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." You know, every person has to respond to truth. And no matter if it's creation or their conscience or if they do hear the gospel, they have to respond to that truth. You know, if they have that thought, man, there must be a God or a superior being, you know, they must respond to that truth inside themselves. And it says in verse 21 that they, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and they rejected it. They rejected the truth. And then secondly, we'll see their responsibility for their choice. In Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And they are also responsible for rejecting the truth that they heard. And it says in, misplaced, oh, verse 24, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." But before that verse, it says that they knew God. They had that opportunity to accept that truth, but they rejected it. You know, God, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says that the Lord wants everyone to come to repentance. He'll give everyone that ability, that truth, to either reject it or accept it. Matthew Henry states, they are therefore without excuse, in that they did know God. It was their duty to worship him and him only. Though some have greater light and means of knowledge than others, yet all have enough to leave them inexcusable. You know, everyone has creation. Everyone has a conscience. No one is without excuse, no matter, you know, if you've heard the gospel or, you know, maybe you're not in a nice place and you don't see the glorious parts of creation, maybe. But you still have creation, and everyone can see that there is a God through creation. And Romans 2:1 says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." No man has an excuse when they stand before God. And I have a point in going through all this, and we'll get to that at the end. But thirdly, we'll see responsibility for young children. So first, we saw revelation from God. Second, rejection by man. And then third, responsibility for young children. Will they be held responsible? This is a debated question, you know, throughout Christianity is, you know, will children that don't understand, even though they're sinners, so they have to accept Christ in order to be saved, will they go to heaven, even if they can't understand it? But even though through studying the scripture that there's not a dogmatic answer, we can't say, you know, yes, they will be, or no, they won't. But we can look at some scripture and come to, you know, a conclusion from scripture of what is the case. In 2 Samuel 12:22-23, if you want to turn there, 2 Samuel chapter 12. Second Samuel chapter 12 and verse 22-23. It says, "And he said, while the child was yet alive," this is David, and he just lost his baby. And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And the obvious conclusion of that passage is that, you know, the child can't come back to life, you know, to David, but he, David, can go to his child. And many people believe that that's talking about he'll see his child in heaven. And Isaiah 7:16 says, "For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good." This is in the context of talking about Jesus. And there is a point in time in a child's life where he doesn't know to refuse the evil and choose the good. You know, that's just a fact. You know, even though they still choose to sin, it says here, "Before the child shall know to refuse the evil." And Jonah chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Should not I spare Nineveh, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand?" And this is most likely referring to children. And how can a baby understand creation, you know, or understand the glory of God or the gospel if he doesn't understand his left hand or his right hand? You know, it's, when's the last time a newborn, you know, said to you, "Man, my left hand really hurts," or, "Oh, my back is killing me today"? You know, they don't do that. They just cry, you know. They don't understand. But from Scripture, it seems that those who do not have the ability to understand and they pass away, such as, you know, babies or really, really small children, that they will not be held responsible and will be in heaven. And the main passage that you can go to for that is 2 Samuel 12:22 through 23, with David, that he'll go to his child. And then lastly, how does all of this apply to us? You know, the revelation from God, rejection by man, responsibility. How does this all apply to us? And lastly, we'll talk about reaching out to man. There are four reasons why we must reach out to man. Four main reasons. And the first is God's compassion. In 2 Peter 3:9, we already said this verse, "But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." And thinking about God's compassion, and I think about Christ on the cross and what they were doing to him. They were beating him. They were mocking him. They were putting a crown of thorns on his head. And he, you know, he didn't have that response, "Well, you know, how am I going to get back at this person?" But he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And tonight, do you love others? Do you show others kindness when they don't deserve it? Maybe next time someone is hateful to you, don't think of how you can get back or get even, but think of how Christ would respond. You know, there are so many times in our life that we're going to be disappointed, people are going to be mad at us, and we can come to that, you know, first thing that pops into our mind, we're mad, what are we going to do back to them? But how would Christ respond? And second, the second reason why we must reach out to man is Christ's commission to us. You know, missions conference is coming up. It's right around the corner. Matthew 28:19-20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, telling others of the good news of Jesus should not be a random thought that occurs, but a daily focus in our lives. Something that we think about every single day. How can I tell this person about the gospel? How can I tell my coworker here about the gospel? How can I tell my neighbor about the gospel? Every single day. Not just if it comes up or if I get the opportunity, but every single day, looking for those opportunities. You know, a Christian who has a growing relationship with Jesus will have a growing desire to tell others about Jesus Christ. When Peter was at Pentecost, and in Acts chapter 4 later, you know, he had that boldness of preaching the gospel. No matter who it was, when the chief priests and all the religious leaders, they were wanting to, you know, put him in prison, and they were, and I'm sure he probably feared about it. But he had that boldness because he developed his relationship with the Lord. And then the third reason why we must reach out to man is man's crying out. You know, when we talked about in Acts chapter 8, how can I accept some man guide me? How can I? That Ethiopian eunuch, he was searching. He was searching for the truth. And the Holy Spirit sent Philip to tell him. Pastor, many of you might know Pastor Camp, who teaches at the college for many, many, many years. And he told us of this story that happened, a missionary friend that he had. And that missionary friend went to this country, and he led this man to the Lord. And after this missionary led that man to the Lord, that man that just got saved told him a story. And he said, one night he was just amazed at the stars. And he prayed, "Send me someone who can tell me of the God who created the stars." And talking about it, that same night, that the missionary who led this man to the Lord was called to be a missionary to that country. The very same night that that man prayed, you know, "Send me someone who can tell me more about the God who created the stars," God called that man to be a missionary to that same country. You know, there's a man crying out to you somewhere, whether it's in Kings Mountain or wherever it may be. There's a man crying out to you that's searching for the truth. We need to tell them. And then the fourth reason is hell's certainty. If you could turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Everyone knows the account of the rich man and Lazarus, so we're not going to read the whole story, but verse 23 says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment." And the certainty, the reality of hell, caused the rich man to say this, beginning in verse 27. It says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Sometimes, even though I would absolutely hate this, sometimes I wonder, you know, if we could just experience the reality of hell for just a moment, and how it would impact our lives and how we approach people. Do you live tonight as though hell is certain, as if it's a real place? You know, we can think about it and it's, you know, it's a real place, but do we live that way? Do we treat it as, you know, the friends that we meet, the family that we have? You know, if they're not saved, they're going there. And now I thought of Mr. Clark when he went on the trip to Madagascar, and he was talking about, you know, what if it was his daughter there in Madagascar? He would want someone or him to go there and tell, if his daughter was there, tell my daughter somehow. But there's someone's daughter there. There's someone's daughter in Kings Mountain. There's someone's daughter somewhere. And will you live as though hell is certain and tell others? So why is the Great Commission so great? Because those who have never heard the gospel are inexcusable. They are in condemnation. And knowing that man is inexcusable and will go to eternal condemnation, they'll have to go to hell, will you obey God's commission? You know, they have revelation from God. They have creation. They have their conscience. But they've rejected God. They were responsible for their sin. Will you reach out to them? Somewhere out there is your Ethiopian eunuch crying, "How can I, except some man guide me?" Will you be that man? Or will you be that woman? You know, it's not something that we should, you know, maybe on one day of the week on Wednesdays, but every single day what you're doing is focus on that, is we need to be telling others. And this is no means bragging on myself, but there's a guy at work, I don't know if he's saved. I haven't been able to talk to him very much yet about his salvation, but he wants to have a Bible study, and I'm praying about how I can do this Bible study with him. And maybe there's someone that at your work that you can, you know, hey, do you want to have a Bible study? You want to talk about different things? Maybe someone who's, you know, interested or searching for the truth. You can start that Bible study. Go to his or her house and talk to them. You know, befriend them. But how will you reach that Ethiopian eunuch today? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word and the power that it has in our lives. And I thank you for a great pastor that we have to preach the word. And Lord, I pray that you give him safety as he's there and on his way back after the board meeting. I pray that you would give us a good rest of the night tonight and that we would go home safely. And Lord, I pray that we would always have the focus of looking for others who need the truth, that need your gospel. And Lord, I pray that we would have that focus every day of our lives. And I pray this in your name. Amen.